United States of Horror
may contain some graphic
or explicit content.
Listener discretion is advised. Hey, dude.
Hello.
Oh, that's better.
What happened, Kaylee?
I have no...
What happened?
No idea.
It started recording over our intro, got rid of our intro, but then it get rid of it, but now it's here.
It was recording, but it wasn't recording.
It's like... What is that one show called?
What?
I don't know. Never mind.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know either.
Not picking up what you're laying down today.
What am I laying down, Kaylee?
Okay, well, first of all, before we start anything, my name is Kaylee.
And I'm Jeff.
And this is
the United States of Horror.
And I want to personally apologize for the sneezing that I left in last week.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, when I listened back to it, because genuinely, we recorded it and then said, you know what? I'm not editing a lick of this. And we put it up. Because we really thought that we did pretty good.
Like, I was like, there's probably one or two things, but they're probably not that big of a deal. And she's like, yeah, I trust your word on that, Jeff.
We just did it super last minute, and we were on a crunch. We didn't want to waste another week without you guys having an episode, so we kind of just threw it together. But let me tell you, whenever I listened back to it and I heard my sneeze, I was in tears laughing.
I was too. Everyone at work thought I was insane.
So Jeff and I thought it was hilarious, but if it annoyed you, I apologize genuinely.
And if it's not professional, get over yourself. Because you know I'm not professional.
Because you know what? We might do that more in the future.
So you know what? I think I'm rubbing off on you, Kaylee.
Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry.
Everyone, that's so bad.
I know. What happened to being perfectionist? Oh, I don't know.
Maybe you're trying to make me perfectionist. I was actually pretty good last week, though.
Kind of, slightly.
Well, I think a little bit better than normal.
Honestly, I don't even remember listening to the episode. I know I listened to the whole thing, but I cannot remember it.
You remember what you had for breakfast this morning? No, you do not. She's just staring off in the distance, staring at her cat.
Oreos.
Oh, yeah, Oreos.
I did.
We're adults.
Oh, no.
Doing a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Talking with you all.
Yeah.
So, speaking about what you have for breakfast, there's another question. Where are we going?
Well, maybe we're going to Della. Where?
Ah! I get it. But, oh. Kaylee, why? And for who?
Well, I have the where, but not the who, what, or why. I'm sorry.
Dini is a magician.
Is that who you're talking about?
I don't know.
Oh.
No? No?
Is Houdini from Delaware? I don't know.
No.
Oh.
No. I think I should go first, though.
I thought you were trying to do a segue. I was like, that's pretty cool.
No. I just thought, whoo, Dini.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, that's so funny. And then I remember a video gamer guy that does that. And yeah, never mind.
Oh. Hmm. Okay. That was... good information. But yeah, I think you should go first.
There is kind of a segue. I was talking about an owl, right? Which is an animal.
Uh-huh.
Which, my story,
uh-huh.
It talks about the Catman. The Catman's grave.
Oh.
I'm the Catman.
Because they're animals. That's the segue.
Yes.
Okay, I was like, how are cats and owls related? Okay.
Because that video gamer was Owl Man. Like.
Oh.
And this guy is a Catman. So
got it.
Well,
as long as you know that that segue is good,
I know
is good.
I know, and you should check it out yourself. Go on the YouTube, on the Google, on the internet, and type in
the internet
the owl boy.
But after you listen to this episode,
yes, and type in the cat man's grave.
Okay, so, let's go
down in Old Dirt Road in Frankfort, Delaware.
Delaware.
There is an old cemetery dating back to the 1800s.
Okay.
Urban legend states that the cemetery was once looked after by a caretaker with strange cat-like features known as Catman.
Ooh, I'm getting Harry Potter vibes again.
Hey, are you reading my notes?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
Is that in there?
I mean, no.
You're talking about Minerva?
No, not that Catman.
Oh.
Who's the other Catman?
I don't know.
Remember that creepy guy that like checks for children in the hallways?
Oh, yeah.
With his cat?
Yeah.
That's more like this guy.
Got it. I thought he looked like a cat.
Well, kind of. I mean, he looks like a cat. Yeah.
Oh.
So, imagine both in the mix. Imagine if they had a baby.
God, no. Why? Jeff.
Okay. Catman lived in a nearby house and didn't take too kindly to the local teens who would come to the graveyards and spend too much time hanging about and one run him off and chase him off. Get off my graveyard! Get out of here before I
it was probably you that they were kicking out.
Meow. Kaylee, this was like 1800s.
You said you were a time traveler last
episode. I'm a wizard. I'm a hairy wizard with the rock. So not only do I go on to crypts and graveyards and stuff, but I'm also the Strangler, Boston Strangler. And don't forget about my new task later in the future. But I will talk about that later, in the past, in the future.
Oh,
so
my brain.
When he died, he was interred in an above-ground crypt in the cemetery. So he was put into like his own little spot above where he was guarding.
Oh.
To watch over everything.
Oh, that's a bummer. Can you imagine like
working somewhere? Like us working at...
It'd be like being buried at our workplace.
That cemetery right across the street from us?
Oh, God.
That's hilarious.
Imagine haunting your work. I would just kill myself all over again.
I think my old boss is haunting it. Oh, by the way, I might have saw him, you know. Sorry, I missed you, dude. Thanks for teaching me stuff. Anyway,
where was I? That was dark.
That was dark. This podcast isn't dark?
Actually, on that note, last week for you guys at work, one of my supervisors came up to me and she was like, well, I just had a weird experience. And I was like, what? She's like, I was standing here. And all of a sudden, I felt a tap on my shoulder, and I looked over, and there was nobody there. I was like, interesting. There have been I think there's been 3 people who've passed away on the premises.
There's been 3 inside the factory.
On top of being in between 2 different cemeteries.
That supposedly it wasn't built on.
Yeah.
You know how we like to talk about old places? We should just talk about our work one day.
Okay. We'll save some of those stories because I have more, but we'll save some of those for our next camp horror.
Okay.
So, sorry. Anyway, no, continue. It's okay.
The Catman, he apparently kept up with his caretaking duties, mm-hmm. even in death as a ghost or something, because stuff remained clean and spooky and he would still scare people off.
I feel so bad for him.
Like a little cat. Get off here. As a ghost now, without any legs.
Well, now he's probably more terrifying.
That's so loud. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh. Meow. It's better than being not loud enough.
So, the tomb in which he was said to be resting in was torn down in 1994 at the request of the family who owned the plot.
Interesting.
After it was torn down, the 4 people who claimed it as their final resting spot were given regular in-ground burials. So, yeah.
You never desecrate someone's grave.
Out with the old, in with the new. Especially when someone's guarding the old dead bodies. And you come in with new dead bodies. What's going to happen? Come on, guys.
That's terrible.
However, those who claim to have seen the crypt before it was taken down claim that the inside was marked by strange scratches.
No. Well, back then is whenever people could be buried alive.
Yeah, especially in crypt with the Catman. I swear I'm not dead. I was just taking a cat nap.
But what if his cat, they put his cat in there with him?
Well, supposedly he had like 5 cats.
I don't want to think about that.
So.
Wow.
Like the kind made by a cat's claws.
Oh my gosh.
Calm down, Wolverine.
You were getting there. Oh.
Meow.
No.
Imagine Wolverine. Hey, it's me, Logan. I'm joking. I don't know how to sound like Wolverine. All I know is he's sexy. Man, The Rock and him. What's wrong with me?
You know what? You need to calm down, sir.
You need to calm up. Okay.
What?
Although the crypt is no more, Catman still makes his presence known in the cemetery. There is apparently the remains of a brick wall towards the back of the cemetery. It is believed that those who knock on this wall 3 times will summon Catman, who, in retaliation, will cause a visitor's car to stall, fail to start, or host a similar problems.
Oh, so...
Like, they'll be walking back, she'll just come untied and
he wants them to leave, but then he'll break down their car so they stay longer.
That way they get scared and never come back.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, knock for him 3 times. It's a cat man.
Well,
his whiskers coming to get ya. Call me up hairballs at ya. So, yeah, I know. I love how you stole my Harry Potter reference about the guy. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
So... Do any of our fans, and Kaylee, do you know where Catman, where it's popular culture now? I'm just going to give you guys a couple seconds to think about it while I talk mindlessly. So, there is a TV show on Nickelodeon that we used to watch.
Uh-huh.
Very Odd Parents.
Oh, yeah.
Catman.
Oh, yeah.
Or Adam West.
That's so true.
And he's like, do you like Cat Cave? And all this weird stuff. And so imagine him.
Wow.
Chasing after you.
You just unlocked some memories. I totally forgot about that.
Those 90s and 2000s nostalgia for all you people. You're welcome.
Interesting.
So that was my little Catman. I'm the Catman. Meow, 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 meow.
Meow, 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 meow.
Yeah. Hairball, sorry.
Gross.
So, you want to hear my other one?
I would love to hear your other one.
This one's a little harder. So, like, it was harder for me to look up because... I'll just get to it, okay. So, this one's the Delaware City Hotel in Delaware City.
Hmm.
Now, it's a Krabby Dick's.
What? Excuse me.
It was a haunted hotel.
Okay.
Made into like a seafood place, like Red Lobster.
And it's called what?
Krabby Dick's. I believe so, unless I mistyped that by accident. I want to go to this place. It sounds amazing.
I can't decide how I'm feeling. I either want it.
In your mouth?
In my
Or just not touch it with a 2-foot pole.
Sure, that's not the way I was going to say it, but you know what? We'll stick with that.
So. Imagine typing in Krabby Dick's Haunted Hotel into the Google search.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was having trouble at first.
Oh,
and then I tried searching for the Delaware City Hotel,
mm-hmm.
and all it says is, it's this new building. So I had to like look for like 20 minutes for the correct couple of places.
But you got something?
I got something.
I'm so proud of you.
With the help of this website. So I'm going to say the name.
Uh-huh.
That way I don't get in trouble.
Copywriting.
Copyright. Like, I copyright sometimes, but not like this.
You're going to... Or plagiarize.
Plagiarize. Yeah. Normally, I, you know, take a piece here, there from different sites.
Yeah.
This time, I want to read a lot from the site, because that's, like, the only place I could find it from.
Okay.
It's, like, these two sites. So, from outandaboutnow.com.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, oh, all right. So, now the location of Krabby Dick's Bar, this historic hotel in Delaware City, is home to several ghosts, orbs and shadows and photographs, paranormal readings from investigators, unexplained noises, and objects being knocked over or moved are regular occurrences here.
Ooh.
So is that the crab dick, or is it actual ghosts? Can a crab haunt it? Okay. So Delaware City Hotel dates back to 1830, when it was a popular tavern that hosted all sorts of people, from travelers to soldiers. The soldiers, in particular, enjoyed their time away from their forts across the river, and they spent many hours drinking at this pub. Most of the ghosts who refused to leave the hotel are assumed to be there, reliving their glory days.
Wow. Well, that's interesting.
So nothing's really changed.
Sounds like it's a cool vibe.
Yeah. Crab dicks and army people just running around with ghosts and stuff.
Yeah.
So the first night he slept... Okay, so... This is the new owner of this place.
Okay.
This is why it sounds confusing. He is the one that like wrote a lot of this stuff.
Okay.
So, the first night he slept in the historic Delaware City Hotel as its owner, John Bushite had a nightmare. In it, he fought a chambermaid named Sandy, dressed in clothes from the 1800s.
Interesting.
One night afterward, he was standing at the top of the staircase when he felt a push. He tumbled down the stairs and left him bruised, but not seriously hurt.
Well, that's good.
That was rude.
That's terrifying. That's a lot of energy.
I know. So, though he was not always a believer in the paranormal, he now thinks much of the Delaware City, founded in the 1820s, is haunted. Apparently, this whole town is haunted.
Well, I wouldn't put it... I would not be surprised at all. There's a lot of history in Delaware, and...
And Delaware is one of our founding states.
Yeah. So, it's got some history, man.
It has a lot of history.
I would not be surprised.
So, the Delaware City Hotel, which was built in 1828, and now houses a Krabby Dick's restaurant and bar and all this stuff on its first floor, can feel crowded even when it's alone. The owner says as he cleans up at night, he will sometimes feel his hair stand up and he will get a tingly feeling. Maybe that's from the beer. When I'm here at night, he says, I actually talk to them. Though he's polite to the spirits, you better be.
I'd hope so.
The owner believes that they want him gone, but as he tells them occasionally, he's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Other paranormal believers, including ghost hunting clubs, have been drawn to the old hotel.
I want to go there so bad.
And after finding some old cookware, the owner discovered a clue about at least one of the spirits haunting his steps. Inscribed on the cookware was the name Sandy. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, I love stuff like that. That's so spooky.
Find my dish so I can clean it.
Oh, no. Well, maybe she was trying to show him.
Yeah, just try to get her name or stuff.
Uh-huh.
So that was from that website I tried to look up and, you know, couldn't find out what happened during the whole 1800s, 1900s, mm-hmm. and everything else. But apparently there was a lot of soldiers housed there during wars and everything, you know, between all the wars.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of death there and, you know, so.
Well, that was very intriguing.
It was like a nice little story I found, so it wasn't that good, but.
Well, next time we're in Delaware.
Whenever that is.
Whenever. We're going to have to go there.
Where?
Delaware. All right. I'm so sorry.
So my story actually lasted like 15 minutes. I'm so proud of myself.
Wow, you did so good, Jeffy.
Now, okay, thanks more for than listening, 5 minutes. Thanks for listening, and now I'm drunk. Here's Kitty.
Just a 15-minute episode. Oh, there'd be some people who would be pissed.
Like who, me?
Yeah.
Not me. Not I don't care.
Well, good for you. So
good.
Good.
Good. Guess what else is good?
What?
I don't know. Food? Pizza?
You know what's not good?
Crab dicks?
Well, I'd hope so. I mean, they're still in business, so.
I mean, they're still in business. I mean, how bad could they be? I want to try it.
I really do, genuinely.
You know, crab leg is really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to imagine.
I love any kind of seafood, so I don't think I'd be disappointed there. And I like seafood coming from Arizona, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, Kaylee. Without further ado, here is Kaylee the Magnificent with her amazing story.
Thank you for that spectacular intro.
you're the only reason people listen, Kaylee.
I don't think so.
I believe so.
Well, thank you. However, I disagree. So I'm going to be talking about Stephen Brian Pinnell. He was known as the Route 40 Killer. So Mr. Pinnell was Delaware's only known serial killer, and he was convicted of the murders of two Newcastle County, Delaware women and suspected of killing three others. So it's kind of hard to find like a ton of information.
Delaware's really secretive.
I feel that old. Yeah. Oh, that's true. Cause you had a hard time too.
It's because it's so small. The town, the city, Delaware city, it's really small.
Well, it's hard, too, because sometimes whenever this stuff happened, like, earlier on, they didn't keep as much information and stuff.
Yeah.
In some cases, they did. Other cases, they didn't. But anyway, so most of his victims were abducted from U.S. Route 40 near Bear, Delaware. And not much is known of Pinnell's childhood, except for the most part, he appeared to come from a normal, stable upbringing, which we all know what other people see from the outside isn't always the story or the case.
I mean, look at me. I'm ugly, and I'm still ugly, and I'll always be ugly.
And I disagree. Well, something you have to think about, too, is you can have two people under the same roof who have different experiences also.
Oh, yeah. You view something like, oh, my parents always starved me and never gave me anything nice. Mm-hmm. So, no, you just were picky and you only wanted certain things.
And they refused to cater to your wants.
Yeah.
True, homie. Yeah. Not that I know from personal experience.
Me neither.
No, if any of my siblings are listening, let's fight about it. Come at me, bro.
I was a picky one. I'm so picky about it.
You're also, like, it was me. I was that person.
I'm the mass murderer.
Oh, God. What? Oh.
And time traveler, mass murderer?
Oh, well, I wouldn't be surprised. So,
keep that in, Keely.
If we make weird noises, we're leaving it in. At some point, he ended up in Delaware and applied for numerous positions in the state police department. Up until this point, he had pursued a career in criminology, having completed several semesters at the University of Delaware. In any event, all his applications were rejected for various reasons, and he ended up working as an electrician. So that could have been something that caused resentment.
That would make me sad. Imagine, like, your one job to do criminal stuff.
Yeah, that's all you want. That's, like, what you're passionate about or whatever. You go to
college for all that stuff, mm-hmm. and you get crushed by the man.
And dreams. Well, they don't just deny anybody. Like, I feel like it takes really specific things.
Or there's, like, a certain staff limit that they have. Or they have to wait for an old-timer guy to retire in 20 years and you can come on board.
Or maybe it was nothing personal at all. Yeah. Personal at all, and he just took it personally.
Yeah, you never know.
So, anyway, he did eventually marry and settle in Newcastle, and life for Mrs. Pennell must not have been the most pleasant, since her husband took incredible pleasure in controlling her life and acting as the dominant presence in the household.
So a typical man in the back then.
I mean,
oh wait, what?
We can't really speak for all of them, but you never know.
I mean, he did try to work for the police, Kaylee.
Okay, and I did see this thing on TikTok. I know, TikTok, whatever. But it was an old ad describing, or it showed two different women getting undressed in the bedroom in front of their husbands. And it was basically a man explaining how a woman should undress properly. I was like, are you kidding me? No, don't sigh at that.
So, if he did, we don't know the whole story. That's the thing I don't
know. Oh, that's true. It is kind
of. What if he did one saying, this is how young men should do it?
Anyway, that's irrelevant.
Okay, irrelevant back then.
I shouldn't have brought it up. Fortunately, the Pennells had no children. In November of 1987, Stephen Pennell began what was to become the most appalling case of murder in the history of small wonder Delaware. The first victim was 23-year-old Shirley Anna Ellis, who was a nurse. And on November 29th of 1987, she left Wilmington Hospital around 6 p.m., where she was aiding an AIDS patient, catching a lift on her way home on Route 40. Her body was later found by a roadside by two boys. She was partially nude, her legs spread out, hands and feet tied with adhesive tape. There were no signs of sexual assault, but she had been seriously abused, with her killer tying a string around her neck and hitting her head with a hammer before she died.
Oh my. So.
So we either have a serious case of
domestic abuse gone wrong.
No. Well, I mean, he just jumped right into it. Yeah. Which doesn't make sense. We always talk about there being some sort of escalation, because that seems extremely violent for something. Like, either he had been fantasizing about this and he just went, like, balls to the wall, his first one. I'm sorry, that was a bad reference, but.
No, we said it last week, so it's okay.
Did we?
Yeah, I said balls to the wall, Miss Sarnick.
Man, we are really referencing back to last week's episode.
Last week, back to the past.
Oh, I'm stuck in a time warp.
Imagine, so if he did that with his wife at the time, and he wanted to do that to her, but couldn't, imagine him driving one day, and just like, oh, one of these days, and then just saw her and just reacted.
Yeah.
So, it could have been.
Yeah, that's true. I just always wonder, like, how these men just go from doing nothing to, bam. I don't know. Anyway. The second victim was 31-year-old divorced sex worker Catherine A. DeMauro. On June 28th of 1988, about 7 months after the first murder, around 11:30 p.m., she was seen walking down Route 40, but it was unclear if she was doing sex work. At 6:25 a.m., construction workers found her naked body at a construction site. Her wrists were tied to her feet. Her mouth was clogged with adhesive tape, and there were no signs of sexual assault. So, like Ellis, she was killed by hammer blows and strangulation. But unlike the first murder, DeMauro's body was covered in blue fibers.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. So, special police forces, along with the FBI's profiling unit, concluded that a serial killer was operating in close proximity to Route 40. Do you say a route or route?
It depends. Like, are you on route? or are you en route?
Well, it's route. Like, it's a route, right? Does it matter?
I don't think it matters.
Like, do you call them Route 44s, or do you call it a Route 44?
Like, I call Sonic Route 44, Route 40 sodas.
Is that, like, the same thing? I don't know.
That's what they call them, because you take them on the route.
Route or route?
Both. It's like a tomato, tomato. All
right. Let us know what you think it is.
It's like apple, banana.
Feel free to correct me, because I have no idea.
As the pints of the round table would say, a pika puka.
Yes. So police and federal agents disguised as sex workers in an attempt to gather information, with a task force of over 60 people being formed solely to capture the killer, but to no avail. So they had over 60 people operating, which to me is a really quick response. They find two bodies.
They found two victims.
Two victims, and...
Well, you know how small Delaware is, right?
Well, yeah, but still in the 80s, like, even late 80s, like, that's...
I think it's, well, because that's, like, only like, the major route going through that state, and it's the major one, and there's, like, one or two local state, like, police locations. Send everyone there. I mean, if it's obviously a serial killer on this road, he can't be too far.
Mm-hmm.
The whole place is only, like, what, like, 60 miles wide?
I have no idea. So, I've never been.
I might look that up while you keep talking, if you don't mind.
Okay. So the next victim is Margaret Lynn Finner. On August 22nd of 1988, 27-year-old sex worker Margaret disappeared. A number of witnesses had seen her enter a blue Ford driven by a white male near Route 13. About 3 months later, her body was found floating in the Chesapeake, Delaware Canal. The body was so badly decomposed that the cause of death could not be determined. On September 14th of 1988, Renee Tashner, an undercover cop posing as a sex worker, roamed Route 40 in an attempt to capture the killer. After passing several vehicles, she spotted a blue Ford 7 times in 20 minutes. She went to a more isolated area and the vehicle stopped next to her. The driver was white, with Tashner noticing that the floor had a blue carpet. So, in theory, that's probably where the blue fibers had come from.
Ah, that would make sense.
Yeah. So the man appeared nervous, hardly looking her in the eye, but still attempted to convince her to enter the car. She refused, claiming that she was tired, but managed to tear some fiber from the blue carpet and write down the license plate number, which, that is clever and good police work. So,
I was looking up the stuff at Kaylee.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the length of it is 96 miles,
mm-hmm.
and the width is 30 miles. So.
Wow.
Yeah, it's tiny. Guess how many people are in there right now of 2020?
How many?
Supposedly. 982,000. Not even a million people.
Wow.
So when there's a killer, Kaylee, back
30 miles wide.
Wide.
So, I mean, trip from here to town, essentially.
Much. Yeah.
And we'd be through it.
Almost. Supposedly. Almost. If Wikipedia is lying to me.
You better not lie, Wiki.
Better not be lying to me. Because looking on a map, it's that little thing right there.
It's so teeny.
There's Arizona.
No.
There's Texas, and then there's Delaware.
Interesting. So,
30 miles wide.
Wow.
So when I said that one road is going through it.
Yeah.
There's a serial killer on that one road.
Okay.
You know where to look for.
Yeah.
It's like looking down ours.
That's very true. Regardless, it's like really good police work to be that quick. Upon examination of several license plates, it emerged that the vehicle belonged to Stephen Brian Pinnell, a 31-year-old electrician, married and father of two. I thought they said that he never had kids.
Interesting.
Oh, my notes are messed up.
So either he had no kids or he had two kids. Let's look up later in life.
Why don't you look up that one? I don't know if you can find it. I think I got my notes from two different sources, so that's probably why this is a little bit weird.
What's his name?
So, Stephen Brian Pinnell.
Stephen Brian Pinnell.
So one of my resources was wrong. I couldn't tell you which was from which.
So thank you everyone for listening to our live mistakes. Hope you like this setup a little better.
We're trying to be more like...
genuine.
Yeah. you can hear the process a little bit more instead of...
Let's go to Wikipedia.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I know I don't want to donate money to you right now.
I know. They got that prompt. So anyway, 2 days later, 22-year-old Michelle Gordon, a local sex worker known for frequenting Route 40, disappeared. Witnesses also saw her enter a blue Ford identified as a panel car. On September 20th, her body was found on the rocks in the Chesapeake, Delaware Canal. In the autopsy, it was discovered that she had been drugged with cocaine, which had caused her heart to stop before the torture had begun. So now we have this new element kind of entering in. So very interesting there. He's drugging him up.
Interesting. That sounds hot. Not really.
Jeffrey. Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, so the next victim, Kathleen Mayer, on September 23rd, 26-year-old of Brookmont Farms, disappeared. A local officer saw her get into a blue Ford on Route 40 at 9:30 p.m. He was able to write down the license plate number, which turned out to belong to Pinnell's car. Is that back when hitchhiking was okay? Because why would he watch this woman get into a car and not pursue?
Was this 80s and 90s?
It was like late 80s.
Yes.
Interesting.
For some of it, yeah.
Yeah.
For late 80s and 90s was a little bit more different.
So unfortunately, her body was never found. And Delaware police, Delaware public prosecutor Charles Oberle approved a police search warrant of the panel van while at the same time searching for other offenses they could arrest Pinnell. While searching the vehicles, prints matching the blood and hair of the victims, as well as the same adhesive tape used by used in the DeMarro killing, were located. A torture kit was also found, which included pliers, whips, handcuffs, needles, knives, and restraints. Pinnell was finally arrested on November 29th of 1988, a year after he murdered the first victim, and was charged with killing three: Ellis, DeMarro, and Gordon. He decided to enact his right to remain silent. So, essentially taking the coward way out.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So, and we've seen that before, too. Kind of like, I always talk about GSK, but I can't help it.
I think you're obsessed with them.
You make it sound so terrible.
You're obsessed with the killers, Kaylee.
I am not obsessed with killers.
Yeah, you are. Who's your favorite serial killer?
I don't have one. I have multiple.
You have multiple. Oh, it's like mass murderer. Mass serial killer.
Okay. There's a difference, thank you.
So I couldn't find anything about his kids, Kaylee.
Yeah, I know.
I just found this one that says he has two.
Okay, so he had two kids. I don't know why my notes decided to lie to me.
And that his wife wanted a divorce, but they wouldn't let her.
As if I didn't.
Yeah, so.
As if I didn't write the notes, but you know.
You never know.
I don't know how I did that. Anyway, doesn't matter. Irrelevant. At the start of the trial, a panel of defense attorneys claimed that the initial fiber taken from Officer Toshna was obtained illegally because it was taken from his car. So, I mean, regardless, if the fibers matched, like, who cares? Whatever. Stupid. So Judge Richard Gibline dismissed these allegations, saying that the carpet was visible to Tashner's eye as soon as she opened the vehicle, so evidence from these fibers was legal. Good on you, mate.
Technically, yeah. If you can see it, it should be.
Mm-hmm. Once the fibers were examined, it was shown that they had DNA residue belonging to the victims. It was the first trial in the United States that used DNA evidence as absolute legal evidence. So, that's pretty cool.
Nifty.
Yeah.
Science-y.
It's history in the making, guys.
Ooh.
I like whenever these stories have, like, little historical facts kind of, like, attached to them.
Where was history made with that? Where? Delaware?
Oh, I was like, where are you going?
Where?
Where? Where? Oh, no.
Where do I need to shut up right now?
Okay. Jeff, Shut up.
Yay! I know everyone missed that.
It's been a while. So Judge Gabelin had to set a legal precedent and listen to the opinion of experts and scientists who helped verify the DNA evidence. However, the strongest evidence against Pennell was the testimony of his lawyer, who decided to stop representing him because of the things he heard.
Oh, that actually
be... That's rough.
That could be tricky.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to do that, though.
Really?
Yeah.
He stopped representing him, so...
But you're not supposed to... It's like a doctor, and they're not supposed to say anything.
Is that really how it works, though?
Yes.
Is it?
It's like an oath you keep.
Oh, you know?
No, that's how it is.
Mr. Lawyer Jeffrey.
I listen to a lot of podcasts, a lot of things. I read a lot
of... I'm kidding.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess it wasn't a big deal back then because he testified that Stephen had told him how he picked up DeMauro, paid her for sex, and then killed her. He added that his former client showed no remorse for his actions and spoke without emotions. This testimony caused a great deal of shock among the jury. The psychiatrist ruled that Pennell's sanity was questionable, but he was still charged with the three homicides. The jury deliberated for 8 days, setting a record for the longest hearing in Delaware legal history. On November 23rd of 1989, the jury reached a decision and convicted Pennell of murdering DeMauro and Ellis, but acquitted him of Gordon's murder because of the lack of evidence.
Yeah.
But it's like, but if he did those two...
You technically don't know for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think Delaware is more strict with laws anyway, with like penalties and stuff. So,
well, they decided not to recommend the death penalty.
Really?
So they actually decided to go with the two life sentences.
Oh yeah, it is 90s, around
late 80s.
Late '80s, early '90s. That's when things started changing for a lot of things.
Yeah.
They went away from the death penalty to life, you know, imprisonments and stuff.
Yeah. Shortly after the decision, a bouquet of flowers was sent to the prosecutor's office with a note reading, "You made us feel human again," from the women of Route 40.
Oh.
Isn't that so sweet?
That is.
Isn't that kind of sad?
That is a little sad.
It does, like, I guess my surprise with them acting so quickly is because usually they don't care about sex workers.
Yeah.
That much. Like, back then, law enforcement would hear about a sex worker going missing, and it's like, oh, well, you know.
They kind of deserved it.
Getting murdered. It's like, well, they work the lifestyle, you know. So, for them to assemble, like, a team like that, that massive, that quickly.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool.
And a lawyer potentially turning on his client like that.
Yeah.
So, unless I wonder what that cause of what that law or what it is there. That blows my mind, but yeah. I'm glad he was able to do that and...
I know.
Take care of things.
So even after he was sentenced, Pennell's lawyer appealed the court's decision on the grounds that the fiber was obtained illegally. The court dismissed it, and based on new evidence introducing in the case, convicted Stephen of murdering Gordon and Mayer. So not only did he lose his appeal, but he was also charged additionally.
Yeah, so you should have just left it alone.
That backfired in his face. So at this point, Pennell dismissed his lawyer and asked to represent himself, a decision the court approved, which was smart on the court's account, because usually when that happens, they just, like, dig their hole deeper.
Yeah.
It's funny how serial killers tend to want to do that, represent themselves.
Well, technically, he could probably got away with the first lawyer. It's like, yeah, he threw me under the bus.
Yeah.
And the second one, he failed to do it. So I actually understand why he's doing it a third time, doing it himself. He's like, this whole lawyer thing is messed up. They're correct. He can do that. He can go down that route. But let's just see what happens.
Well,
normally doesn't end good for him.
The thing is here is he actually announced that he wished to receive the death penalty.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Isn't that a weird turn of events? He argued that the entire Constitution began with a verse from the Hebrew Bible, and as soon as the court found two witnesses who could testify to his guilt, he deserved the death penalty under the Bible's law. He cited two passages from the Bible to explain his position. So, getting a little weirdly religious, I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah. On October 31st of 1991, the court sentenced Pennell to death under the Delaware State Constitution. Every death penalty judgment requires a further hearing from the Supreme Court, and on February 11th of 1992, Pennell appeared before them, demanding that he be sentenced to death. So at this point, I think he's just accepted that, like, there's no way out of it.
And he wants to do it, yeah.
And it's still the chicken shit way out of it, just, like, choosing to remain silent.
Yeah.
Because you're not facing your consequences, necessarily. It's kind of like a scapegoat.
I think he wants to have the last, like, say. If that makes,
yeah, that's true. It's a way of him saying, thinking that he's... thing. Yeah, that's true. He was the only defendant in Delaware's legal history to represent himself before the Supreme Court and the only man convicted to willingly seek the death penalty. Well.
Interesting. That blew my mind, Kaylee.
Yeah.
Normally they go after death penalty. Nope. Mm-hmm. No, I want it, damn it.
I know. So, however, he pled not guilty to the murders and spoke of all crime as a third party, saying that the killer was enjoying the process of the murder, but not the murder itself. Which, maybe he was a little bit crazy. Maybe they should have evaluated him a little bit better. Because that's not normal. Or he was trying to come off as crazy.
Or... I don't know. Who knows?
That's just not normal.
Weird, that is.
The Delaware State Attorney General objected to the death penalty, but the judges sentenced Pennell to death anyway. His execution was scheduled for March 14th of 1992.
So he's like, okay, hypothetically, if I was in the murder, he would do this.
Yeah.
And that way you don't kill me. And they're like, no, no, you want it.
Yeah.
Now you're going to get killed. Mm-hmm. We weren't, and then you said you wanted it. Now you're saying you don't. I'm done.
Yeah.
You're going down.
Well, this, I have to say, this reminds me of
Ted Bundy. I was about to say, when was this going on? Maybe that's why he did it, because he wanted a sweet deal.
Ted Bundy was before.
Well, maybe he looked at Ted Bundy and thought maybe he can get a little longer, like how he did it.
I mean, maybe. I'm not even sure.
I don't know either.
So two people appealed against Pennell's execution, but both were unanimously dismissed by the court. His wife, Vera Kathleen Pennell, appealed the Supreme Court's decision.
Oh, wow.
So that's like...
Aww.
It's like the... what is it called?
When they're in shock and disbelief or...
Oh, gosh. I can't remember. It's going to drive me insane. I know what it is. Whenever the victim is like...
Yeah.
Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, Stockholm Syndrome.
There we go. A little bit of Stockholm Syndrome. Whatever. You know what I said.
Stockings? Boston Strangler?
Oh, no. So she actually received help from the local branch of the American Citizens Association and a law professor who was one of its directors. He argued in his appeal that Pennell was insane and could not fully understand the gravity of his actions. So the trial should be reopened, with Pennell being barred from representing himself. And the Supreme Court rejected the demand.
Aww.
Which, I don't know, maybe, like I said, maybe he should have been further evaluated.
I mean, he should have at least been looked at, at least. But.
Sorry.
Really?
What?
We're trying to be professional, not now. Bye, with that bye. Sponsor, bye.
I was really thirsty.
We're keeping that in, you know.
I'm sorry. You get my sneeze last week and my drinking this week. You could have just talked over it and it wouldn't have even been a big deal.
No, because you're like made gulping. It a big deal. You're gulping that down. That coconut pie.
I was thirsty. Oh, no, no, they have to hear my laugh. I'm sorry.
We're not sorry.
We're not sorry.
We're at 43 minutes. 44 minutes.
It's going to be a short episode, guys.
Almost 43, 40, 59, 44, Jeffrey, 41.
Stop. Okay, so prior to the execution, numerous reporters tried to ask Pennell for exclusive interviews, hoping to reveal the location of Meyer's body. He turned down every request, and when it came close to the execution date, he agreed to be interviewed by one newspaper with his lawyer present. During this interview, Pennell revealed no new information nor where he hid the body. On March 14th of 1992 at 9:49 p.m., Pennell was executed by lethal injection, becoming the first person executed in Delaware in 46 years. and the 165th person to be executed in the United States since the death penalty was reinstated in 1976.
Wow. So he was the first one. So I was wrong about them having a strict death penalty.
Well, in 46 years, because...
But that's why I was like, okay.
But I mean, that's still, that's a lot of people to die within just 1992. Okay, so I guess, never mind.
Not that much. Okay. I'm just saying there's like thousands of serial killers walking right now.
That's true.
I mean, 999 that I don't know about.
I still don't know where I stand on the death penalty, so I have no opinion, but...
You know what I think, Kaylee?
Well,
you guys don't want to know what I think.
I think I already know what you know. I mean, I think I already know what you think.
Eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth.
Yeah. When it comes to stuff like that, especially people who are, like, they do terrible things to the innocent, you know?
Especially the innocent and the children.
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry, I grabbed
that. That was a really scary face, and I would ask you to never make it again.
So, guys, hear me. Grr. Rawr. Catman. Meow.
Oh, goodness gracious.
So, is that your story, Kaylee?
Yeah, that's it. I'm so, it's so, like.
It's okay. It's okay. It's a good little episode. Oh, Kaylee.
What?
Well, thank you for the story.
Thank you.
You have a weird law for us?
Yeah, I do have a weird law. Do you want to hear it?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's it, guys. No, I'm kidding. So, no person shall pretend to sleep on a bench on the boardwalk. This is true, and this is perfectly normal law for a beach town, except for the pretending to sleep clause. I guess a local judge got tired of people using the I wasn't really asleep defense. So
what if I kill them and they're just dead? And I just resuscitate them and they're alive again? Is that considered... Okay.
Jeff.
Ooh, in a beach town, right?
Shut up, Jeff.
Serves up, dude. Oh, he's dead. Lord. He's taking a nap, bro. Catnap. Catman.
Help me, please.
Help me, Wanda. Yeah. Okay. I am Cosmo.
Jeffrey. So, anyway, that was Delaware. I hope you guys enjoyed that miniature episode. I'm sorry they've been so short lately. We need to do something special.
It wasn't that short.
Okay, it was like an hour. That's true.
No, sorry they're not used to like an hour and 28 minutes.
I know. We do quick little episodes lately.
Well, I think they don't mind this. It's a good hour-long one, almost.
Is it, Jeffrey? Is it an hour?
Well, Kaylee, how can they find us? I keep talking if you want really slowly until we get the hour mark. I think people don't want to hear that, though.
No. Well, first and foremost, we really appreciate you guys and all of your support. We wanted to remind you that our offer still stands. The first person who signs up for the presidential tier in our Patreon will get a free mask and a free shirt. So, yeah. First person. We'll see.
I might just do it, guys.
Jeffrey, you can't get a free shirt. Well, I mean, you can get a free shirt anyway. I can make you one right now. Let's go.
This Pokemon is trubbish.
Jeff,
this looks like trash.
We are literally ending our recording.
No, we're not.
Jeffrey.
Okay, sorry. We're talking, right? So, yeah. Seriously, though, guys, join our podcast group, our Patreon. Thank you, Kaylee.
Can you please pay attention to what we're talking about?
Our Patreon podcast group?
It's patreon.com/ The United States of Horror. We have three separate tiers. The structure might change a little bit. I think we're going to add something to our mayor tier so that you're getting a little bit more bang for your buck, if you know what I mean.
That way we kind of pull on your leg a little bit, if you know what I mean. That crab. What? That crab dick.
Oh my god, what?
What?
I don't even understand how you get to the places that you get to.
By going over there? Over Jeffrey? There? Over where? Overwear?
You're really pushing it this episode.
Overwear? Underwear?
Delaware.
Oh. But yeah, definitely. Even if you just do the dollar one, guys.
It supports us. And like I said, we're going to change up the structure. You're going to get more bang for your buck. So if you've looked into it before, just keep an eye out. And we're going to be making those changes shortly. Maybe by the time this is up. Who knows?
Who knows? And, you know, if we get those sponsorships, mm-hmm. we can get better stuff. Get better equipment, maybe do a live show one day.
We would like to do that, yes, and we'd like to post visual as well, but that also is going to cause that we're going to have to get a little bit more equipment, and so we have to see that it's wanted.
Yeah, And we want new merch and new, you know, cool stuff. Maybe we can go on a tour one day. You never know, Kaylee. Oh. Imagine them hanging out with me.
Can you see my anxiety-ridden self trying to be on stage talking to a crowd?
Imagine me just going, wee, crowd surfing.
I would have to be on some sort of, like, tranquilizer.
Xanax, Xanax, Xanax. No, I'm pretty sure they would just pay us, like, $10 for the max tier. And the comments saying, don't come here, Jeff.
Please don't come here.
Just be quiet, Jeff.
Oh, Lord. So anyway, we are most active on our Instagram. That's at United States of Horror. And then we're on Facebook, facebook.com/United States of Horror. We do have a Facebook group you can join and just, like, chit-chat with us. Talk about horrible stuff.
Talk about urban myths.
Yep.
Cryptids. Whatever you want to talk about. Even just want to say, hey, hello, everyone. How are
and
you
then,
doing?
Yeah, and then a few episodes from now is going to be our final Camp Horror Campfire Stories, and we will be wanting a lot of your guys' personal experiences to add to that.
So send them in. We would love to share them.
And then how many more episodes do we have after this, Jeffrey?
I don't know. We have, like, something.
I mean, like, how many more states?
Should we tell them or just have it be a surprise? Or when we only actually say something?
It'll be a surprise. I think okay. We only have one more, though, don't we?
Thanks for ruining the surprise, Kaylee.
Oh, I thought you meant the place that we're going. Because, I mean, they could look back and figure it out, but...
I don't think they're that big of fans, Kaylee.
If you can tell us which is our final state, we will send you a free mask.
Really? Oh, okay.
I just want to talk to you guys.
We don't want friends. One of my friend.
So if you want to send your friendship applicant, no. If you wanted to send in your personal information.
Information.
Your personal paranormal and true crime and every other experience that is horror filled, then you can email us at unitedstatesofhorror@gmail.com.
And we're on Spotify.
Anchor.
Podcasts on... Apple.
Apple Podcast.
Yeah.
Google Podcast. We're on a bunch of different platforms.
CastBox, everything.
Remember to like, share, subscribe, and talk to us.
And have a good day.
And you night. Have a great evening.
Good time.
Have a good lunch.
Good dinner, breakfast.
A good shower if you're in the shower.
And remember, Catman is always watching you with his butthole in air.
That's creepy.
And that's it.
All right, bye guys. Bye.
Catman.
Bye.